Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 8. It's good to be in God's house, and I do appreciate that song. John chapter 8. When you find that, stand together with me. It is good to have another guest with us this morning, Richard, which is Brother Marvin's brother. And so it's good to have you with us, Richard. John chapter 8. For those of you who aren't familiar with what we do, we're just going through the book of John. And so we actually find ourselves in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 48, not by chance, but because this is where we are in our study. We just study through the book of John. And so I love that because God then determines our topics. And I think he has something special for us this morning. So look at John 8, look at verse 48 with me, and we'll read all the way from 48 to verse 59. So follow along as I read aloud John chapter 8, 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" So this is the Jews talking about Jesus. They're saying about Jesus that he has a devil. Verse 49. Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." We're not going to read on yet. What I want to do in verse 51 is I want to read that verse again, and I want you to read it together with me. And then after we read verse 51, I'll continue reading and you just follow along. Okay, verse 51, read it together with me. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." It's quite a statement, isn't it? "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." It's quite a statement, isn't it? Yeah. They didn't like it though, 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." This morning I want to preach on the topic looking beyond or thinking beyond the scope of this life. And I think as we study this, you'll see that. And God willing, it'll be an encouragement to you this morning. Father, we love you. We pray that you'd help us to learn to think the way you want us to think the way you think. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and help us to see where we struggle with this so we can be transformed again this morning for you. We love you and we pray that you would please work in our hearts in a specific way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for standing. You can be seated. How many of you have a very sensitive gag reflex? Okay. So I do. And it became real for me when these babies started needing their diapers changed. You know, my kids, thank the Lord, passing faith, you know. There are things about them when they were little, the boys, that I miss, you know. And I wish, you know, because I see pictures and I think, I remember those days and I miss those days. I don't miss the diapers though, at all. Don't miss that. And Grant's not in here, so don't go embarrass him about this, but he came into my office the other day. It was just this week. And Brother Chad can validate this because he was in there. And he comes in, and I had already began the process of writing this sermon. So you can know that this was sort of on my mind, what I just said to you. Grant walks into my office, and he said, "Dad, I had a blowout today." I immediately said, You pooped in your underwear?" Brother Chad burst into laughter. He goes, "No, Dad, I fell down on the ice." Oh. I said, "Man, you have got to figure out a different way to say you fell on the ice than that I had a blowout. Because if you're a mom and dad, you already know what that means, you know." So I was thinking about the boys, and I was remembering them running around little, and they have, you know, their little cup and their Cheerios in their hand and stuck to their arm, and on there's Cheerios really stuck all over them. And I remember those days, and I miss those times. And I remember when those days were happening, I would constantly have people come to me and say, "You better enjoy these days, because before you know it, it's going to be over. They're going to be all grown up, and you're going to look back and think, oh, I missed those days." And so it's kind of happening just the way that it was said to me. You know, "You better enjoy those days, because you're going to look back, and they're going to be gone, and you're going to miss those days." Time flies, doesn't it? And then you live life a little bit, and then you blink a couple of times, and then a large portion of your life is over. And we can all relate with that, in a sense, in some ways. And so we would agree with certain parts of the statement: enjoy the journey, enjoy your life, enjoy certain things about your life, because before you know it, it's going to be over, right? And I don't want to be a downer here, but I want to encourage you about something. Even if you are here this morning and you would honestly say, "Pastor, I have enjoyed my life. And I didn't take for granted when they were little. I didn't take for granted certain chapters of my life. And where I am today, and I look back and I can honestly say, yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've done things that I regret in my life. We've all done that. But I can honestly say I have enjoyed the journey of my life. And where I am today, I wouldn't trade what I've went through to be where I am." Some of you might be able to say that. And I would venture to say that you would come to the end of it and you still would look back and say, "I'm not really ready for it to be over." But here's the sad reality, is whether you didn't enjoy your journey, you didn't enjoy your life, or you did enjoy every step, we're all going to come to that day when it's going to be over, whether you enjoyed it or not. That's what people don't like to think about. That's why Jesus is saying what he's saying in this passage, because he is talking to Jews who are not thinking about eternal things. They're not thinking about the fact that this life is going to be over someday. They're listening to what Jesus is saying, and they're not thinking beyond the scope of this life. They're just thinking about this life. Jesus wants them to think on the eternal side of their existence. He wants them to think about their spiritual need, but they wouldn't listen to his words. He's trying to communicate, but they won't listen. They're so focused on where they are in their life and what they're experiencing and trying to get everything out of life that they're going to get out of life, that they're not willing to let their mind think about the fact that one day they're going to die. They didn't want to think about what's going to happen after they die. And so they continued to deny him. They continued to reject his word. And that's why verse 48 begins the way it does. Look at it. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Why would they say that? Why would they listen to what Jesus has said up until now, who he is over and over in his grace trying to get them to get the message I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to die in your sins. I don't want you to, you know, to face the eternal condemnation as a result of the consequences of your sins. I don't want you to experience that. And so the gospel over and over is being given by Christ. And they over and over are rejecting him. And even here, they're saying, have we not said, well, that you are a Samaritan and have a devil? Verse 49, Jesus responds and says, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. And he brings up this word honor. And then he says, you do dishonor me. So he brings up an issue that they clearly have. He's identifying it and he's using a word to say, as he's beginning the process of showing them some of the issues that they have, and he uses the word honor. He says, my Father... He says, I honor my Father. He says, you do dishonor me. That word honor, it means to hold with value. Honor means to hold. Maybe you would say you honor somebody by holding them in high esteem, right? You would honor them. Well, it just means to value them. You honor something by understanding or recognizing its value. And here's what Jesus is saying. I understand and value the word of my Father, but you do not. You do not value, watch, you do not value the word of the Father because you do not value my word. That's what he's saying. Verse 50, he said, I seek not mine own glory. They were accusing him of promoting himself. He says, I'm not seeking my own glory. By implication, here's what he's saying. I'm doing what my Father wants me to do. I honor him because I'm obeying him. I'm following his will. I'm doing what he wants. I'm not doing what I want to promote myself. I'm obeying the Father. That's what he's saying. He says, there is one that seeketh and judges. Who's that? He's talking about the Father. There's one whose opinion really matters. It's the Father's opinion. And, you know, we could live life trying to meet other people's expectations. As we talked about in Sunday school, we could live our life trying to fulfill and to please all the people that are in our life. And we can live our life to try to please ourselves. But he says, none of that matters. He says, as a matter of fact, it's all meaningless because only one judge, there's one who seeks, there's one who judges, and his opinion is all that matters. He says, 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man seek, or rather keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's quite a following statement. It had to do with honoring the Father or seeing the Father's will, his opinion, his word as valuable, he said, valuable. My boys, you know, they're getting big now, growing up, and I don't want to embarrass them too much, but they're starting to wear my stuff. And I'm thankful. I have a feeling they're going to end up being bigger than me. So, you know, they'll probably be a lot skinnier, though. So they'll end up being able to wear some of my shirts. But it would be comical once they get tall to see them wear my pants around, you know, because then about this much of their ankle will be showing. But so they're wearing my things. And normally I'm not like a, you know, sibling rivalry between girls where she wears her stuff and then there's this big fight because they're wearing each other's things, you know. I'm not really that like that. I don't care much if they wear my things, but here's the problem is they ruin my things. Like they're wearing my shirt. I see one of my shirts on them. I'm thinking, well, say goodbye to that shirt. And I'm serious, so something's going to serious happen to it. And I'm thinking, well, that one's going in your drawer from now on. Or my, you know, one of them has borrowed my earmuffs. They're gone. Like, they're gone forever. We're never going to find those. You know, my tools in my tool room. Guys, you know how it is. They're borrowing the tools. And you go in there, you just want a screwdriver, but it's not there. It's also gone forever. And so, you know, why do I not like them to borrow my things? Well, because they don't value them like I do. I value them. I want to keep them. And so they use them and they don't value them as much. So I don't like it when they use my things. Well, value here is a big part of understanding your need of the gospel. Valuing the word of God. Valuing the message. Listening and saying, this is important to me. And if you come and your attitude is, you know, okay, I'm here, then you're probably not going to get a lot out of it. God wants you to come with a spirit that says, I need something from God, and I value his word. And when you have that spirit, then God will speak to you. Every single time, when his word is declared, he will speak to you every time. And so God is saying that their opinion didn't matter as much as God's opinion. He was seeking God's approval, and God's approval was all that mattered. And so that is how he operated. So then he said that if they would have just trusted his word, if they would have valued his word, then they would never see death. That's what he said. Never see death. But for them, they weren't interested because they weren't looking beyond this life. They were too focused on this life to look beyond this life. Verse 52, Jesus said, or rather, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil, Abraham is dead. That proves, when they just said Abraham is dead, and then they said the prophets are dead, it proves that they weren't looking beyond this life. Their view, everything that they did in life was just about this life. Oh, Abraham's dead. You're talking about Abraham and he's gone. Yeah. Look on. He says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. That's what they're saying, that Jesus is saying, but Abraham's died, the prophets have died. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? In other words, who are you claiming to be? Jesus promised that if they would have just trusted his word, then they would never see death, but they begin to argue that he was crazy for making such a statement. They assumed that he thought himself greater than Abraham. Who's Abraham and why does Abraham matter? Abraham's the patriarch. Abraham's where the nation of Israel was born. The promised seed came to Abraham. And so they brought up Abraham because in their mind, Jesus was claiming that he was greater than Abraham. And so that was a big deal to them. But here's what's really true about this. They didn't see Jesus for who he really was. They were just determined to see their life and how what they did every day and how they responded to the situations of their life would affect their life that day. They weren't looking beyond this life. They certainly weren't interested in being concerned about their spiritual need. Why? Probably because they didn't want to think about it. Just like people are today. You know, this isn't really a new thing, is it? I mean, people today don't like to think about death. I mean, we don't walk around and talking about death. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. The Jews were arguing with Jesus because they didn't want to think beyond the scope of this life. They wanted to be focused on how their decisions affected their life today. The pleasure of their life, the enjoyment of my life. I want to enjoy my life, they would say something like that. And so they would do things that would affect the enjoyment in their minds, that would affect the enjoyment of their life. But thinking in the scope of this life alone. And lost people do that. People who aren't saved, people who don't have a real... I'm not talking about a religion where we say that we have a relationship with God. I'm talking about real relationship with God established in Christ spiritually. People who are lost are not thinking about the eternal things, and people who are lost don't want to think about it. And so, you know, you bring up eternal life, To a lost person, it's something they're not really ready to think about yet. I'm not ready to think about that. I think I'll think about that whenever I get closer to the time whenever I'm going to die. Then maybe I'll start thinking about it. But even then, it's not comfortable to talk about. Like, what happens after you die? It's not a topic we want to discuss, you know. There have been people that I've talked to who want to believe that when we die, we just turn back to dust. Oh, you know, they put your body in the casket, and your body goes under the ground, and then they put dirt over it, and then, you know, after a couple hundred years or longer, whatever, however long the process takes, you'll just turn right back into dirt, and that's what happens when you die. And they tell themselves that. But why? Why? Probably because they don't want to think about it. Oh, you know, we're just going to turn back into dust and then just leave it there, and then they'll live their life. And every decision they make after that is how what they're doing affects their happiness in this life. They don't want to think about what happens when you go into the dirt. I don't want to think about it. I've talked to teenagers who have been across the table from me. As a matter of fact, I did a Bible study with the whole family, which I don't actually like to do this. I like one-on-one Bible studies. The dialogue is a lot better. It's a lot more honest and open when it's one-on-one. But, you know, occasionally, if the circumstance merits, we'll have a group. And this one did, and it was a family. And so there was about 3 teenage young people there. I have never done Bible study with these particular teens. I didn't know what to expect, but I knew they were teenagers. I'd worked with teenagers for a long time, and we began this study. The first lesson that I do is on the existence of God. I mean, we talk about, where did God, is God real? I mean, that's a question I feel like is almost so fundamental, we shouldn't need to answer that one, but yet today, in our society today, we need to answer that question. Is God real? So we spend a whole session just talking about God's existence. And the opposite, or rather people who do not believe in God, there's a name for them. They're called atheists. The word atheist is a Greek word. It comes from 2 Greek words. A meaning no, not, without. Theo is the Greek word for God. So A, no, theo, God, no God. An atheist believes there is no God. And we'll go through then if they don't believe in God. If an atheist says there is no God, then where did we come from? We need to be able to answer that question, and they have a response. They say, evolution gave us our existence. You might say, well, you know, the Big Bang is where we came from, but where did the Big Bang come from? And the answer to that, and I've studied all about this, the answer to that is evolution. Evolution gave us the Big Bang. So then the God then becomes evolution. We have to deal with this topic. So we're in the process of talking about evolution. We're talking about God's existence. And what the world says and those who reject God say, we came from this. And then we have those over here on this side who say, God is real. God exists. He is the creator. And we see that in the Bible, but not just in the Bible. We see it in nature itself. And so I'm not going to teach the lesson to you, but I mean, we're just kind of putting these two things on one side or the other. And then in the middle of this lesson, these teenagers started arguing with me. And I, you know what? I've done this study. I can't even tell you how many times. I don't know how many times I've studied this with people. And I've never had somebody argue with me like this. Listen, as a pastor, I'm not interested in debating. I'm not interested. I feel like debating is worthless. Because if you want to argue with me, here's what it says about your heart. It's not open. And what does arguing do other than make people mad? So I'm not going to argue. If you want to hear what the Bible says, then I'll be glad to teach you what the Bible says. But these kids were arguing with me, and it was passionate, and it was really like intense, and I could tell that these kids have been trained in their schools about all of this stuff, and they were telling me things and saying things to me, well, what about this, and what about that, and I was answering them, and I realized real quick, I mean, they're not really interested in knowing the truth. They're not really interested in hearing what I'm saying to them about God and his reality. And so, you know, I finished the story, you know, the lesson, and I realized it's not going to work. And then I finished it gracefully, and I wasn't harsh or anything. I'm just not interested in arguing. So we finished the lesson, And, you know, the parties, there's nobody was mad at each other because, again, I didn't allow it to become an argument. And we went our separate ways. And then I went home and I started to think about it. And I wondered, why does it happen? Why would anybody say there is no God? I mean, really believe it. If it wasn't this, they don't want to think about it. I'm not really interested in thinking about what's really going to happen after I die. You know, I think down deep inside when you die, it's deep down inside, you know that when you die, it's not over. There's something after that. Now, if you don't know the Bible, then maybe you can't put your finger on it. But down, I think deep inside, you know that when you die, it's not over. So people who argue and want to believe that God isn't real or Jesus isn't the Savior and none of that's real, they suppress what down deep they know is true. When we die, it's not over. Yeah, don't want to think about it. But you know, it's interesting. Lost people do that. In the context, the Jews are lost and that's what they're doing. But saved people do it too. People who do believe in God. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, there are times when God is trying to get through to you, but you won't listen to him. He's trying to break through to your heart and get through to you, and he's knocking on your heart door. He's trying to get through, but you won't listen. You don't want to think beyond the scope of this life. And you're afraid if you let God speak to you, if you let him lead you, then he's going to tell you to do something that's going to affect the happiness of your life. If I let God lead my life, then I'm afraid then he's going to tell me to do something and I'm not going to be as happy as I was doing the other thing. So I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to think beyond the scope of this life. Saved people do that too. And it hinders our growth. It hinders what God is able to do in us and through us because we don't want to think beyond the scope of this life. We only make decisions that affect this life. You know, I was thinking about this, and the Jews and how lost people and saved people do this, and I also started to make this or have this conclusion or come to this conclusion about all of this that I think that we forget something. We begin the process of thinking that everything in this life, we need to do everything that we can to enjoy every moment of this life. Everything that you do, friend, you better make sure that you do it to enjoy every moment of this life because this life is the only life you get. We hear that, don't we? Over and over and over. You better enjoy every moment of this life because this life is the only life you get. And you hear it. And I say that and you say, that's true, Pastor. This life is the only life I get. But here's the problem. It's completely wrong. Jesus said, he said, if you will just listen to me and open your heart, you will never see death. Wow, really? Yeah, he said, if you would just decide to open your heart and stop thinking about this life and think beyond the scope of this life, then you would understand that after this life, there's another one. And then that would begin. I think if we would open our hearts to that truth, it would begin to change the way that we make decisions in this life. If we're not just thinking about this life as the only one. And you think, well, that's crazy. You know, all of my life I've heard, enjoy your life every step of the way because this is the only one you get. I've heard that all my life. And probably you have too. And so it's sort of internalized. And everything that we do every day is so that we'll enjoy this life because it's our only one. To hear somebody say, wrong-o, you've got another one. If you're not tempted, here's what you'll think. That's crazy talk. That's what the Jews said. They said, you're crazy. They said, you're filled up with the devil. They said, you're a Samaritan. You're full of a devil. That's crazy. How can you make a statement like that? Who do you think you are? I mean, Who are you really? Who are you claiming to be? To make a statement that I'll never see death? You know, I'm really glad, aren't you, that Jesus actually in this text answered that question for them. They wanted to know who he was. They wanted to know how they could trust that what he is saying is true, that they don't have to just think about this life, but that they could never see death. And Jesus said, I think he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Let's see, verse, where is it? 51, let's look at it. No, I'm sorry, you're right, verily, verily, but the one I'm looking for is 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Look at 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was able to offer them eternal life so that they would never see death. Do you know why he was able to do that? Because he's the eternal God. Before Abraham, which was 4,000 years ago, however many. No, at Jesus' day, it was 2,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago from today. 2,000 years ago from Jesus when he said this. Before Abraham was born, I already existed. Do you know why I'm able to tell you you'll never see death if you'll just trust my word? Because I'm the eternal God. That's what he's saying. So then why won't people come to him in salvation and get this thing settled? Why won't people break their hearts and say, hey, listen, if I just come to Jesus, I can know that I have eternal life. I don't have to, you know, die and wonder or be concerned about my eternal destiny because Jesus is the eternal God and he promises me that I can have salvation in him. Why would people not want to do that? Here's why. Simply put, they're not willing to think beyond the scope of this life. They won't let themselves do it. And everything that I do is all about this life. And it doesn't have to be that way if you would just open your heart and listen. I'm going to finish with this story, okay? It might sound juvenile in a sense. Thought about not using it, but it really tells how people are today. So there was a young man in his early 20s. I read his article several years ago. Young man in his early 20s, he was dying of cancer. He just had a few days to go, a few weeks or just a very short amount of time. He was right there at the end. The doctor said, you're right at the end. Maybe we could hear them saying, family, friends, maybe we could hear somebody saying to a young person at their last days, any last requests? Can you hear him saying that? Here's what his last request was. I want to see the new Star Wars movie before it comes out. And it wasn't out yet. And so the producers of the movie got wind of him dying and he wanting to see this movie as his last request. So they made this big, you know, display. And it had to be a secret because it wasn't released. And you can watch the movie, but don't tell anybody, you know. And of course, they made it happen. This young man watched this Star Wars movie. And then 3 days later, he died. He's gone. It's over. People were rejoicing. He got to watch the last or whatever Star Wars movie it was, you know. He got to see this movie, you know. And I thought to myself, that's it. You're about to die, and that's what you want to do? What does that say about people today? Here's what it says. You could be on your deathbed and still not be thinking about what's going to happen after you die. That your last request is to do this. Whenever you're about to die and it's all over. I would like to. Not that he didn't say this, it's just this was the article. Maybe he did in the end. I want to see a pastor. Maybe he wanted to see a pastor. I hope so. But it got me thinking, you know, that's really a lot how people think today. They're not willing to think beyond this life. And if you this morning would just stop, open up your heart, and start to think beyond this life, here's what Jesus promises you. If you would trust me, you'll never see death. Never. Well, that's encouraging, but you have to open your heart to it. You have to decide, I'm going to, at least for a time, stop just thinking about this life, and I'm going to begin to think about what God wants me to think about in the sense of eternal life. What happens after I die? It's not a pleasant thing, but Jesus is doing his best to get their attention just to think about it. And as saved people, we need to do the same thing. Let's start to think about or beyond the scope of this life. And it will affect what we do in this life. It will. It will affect who we are. So, maybe I could just make a couple of statements and we'll be done. Statement number one, don't get consumed with this life. Don't get consumed with this life. I'm not saying throw caution into the wind and don't care about anything in this life anymore. And, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't get so consumed with this life that you won't let yourself think about eternal things. Don't get distracted with the pursuit of happiness at all costs. Because at times there are some things more important than your happiness. Obedience to God. So to do that, think beyond the scope of this life. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning for your help to, Lord, really just listen to your word and begin to do what is so opposite of the nature of man today. Think beyond the scope of this life. I pray that you'd help us this morning. Perhaps somebody's here, they don't know for sure of their eternal destiny. Maybe they hope they're saved. Maybe they're hoping that they have eternal life, but they don't know. I pray you'd give them courage today, please, to confess some things as you're leading in them. Maybe some Christians here that aren't thinking beyond this life. They're really just sort of thinking about this life. I pray you'd help us to think properly and to think according to your will. All that matters is your word, your opinion, your will. So I pray you'd help us with that, please. I thank you again for your grace. Every head's bowed, nobody's looking around. I'm just going to ask a quick question, then we'll start our invitation. You say, Pastor, I'm not for sure if I died today that I would go to heaven. Now, nobody's looking around. I'm the only one looking. We do that out of respect. And I won't embarrass you, I promise you that. But I'll pray for you. Lift your hand if you would, and I'll pray for you. I'm not sure. Thank you. I'm just not sure if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Now, I won't embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. Just be honest. Anyone else? I just don't know for sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone? Thank you for those of you who lifted your hand. I do want to pray for you. But it's my prayer for you won't save you. So you're going to have to step out in faith. Take courage. I want to encourage you to do that today. Father, I pray for these that lifted their hand. Please encourage and strengthen them to take a step of faith for you. I thank you again for your son Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.